Accession number 16618, Reel 1.
Mr. Papworth, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Near Arundel in Sussex.
Could we put the date of birth on the tape?
Yes. 13th of April 1922.
What did your father do for a living?
He was on the railways.
Did you go to school in Arundel?
No. My mother died sometime, I suppose I must have been almost a year old, and two of my sisters and myself went to Barnardo's, and the rest of the family went to Waifs and Strays, which is the children's.
So was that in London, the Barnardo's?
Stepney was, which was the like transfer point, and then I was boarded out first in Northamptonshire and then in Wiltshire.
When did you join the army?
April 1941, and I went from Tottenham to Boyce Barracks, which is Crookham, in the Aldershot area.
And the regiment you went into?
RAMC.
Now, can we jump ahead to 1950, and can you tell me the details of how you went to Korea, please?
Yes, I was working at Hackney Hospital, doing my nursing training for general nursing. I'd just completed my second year, and I'd just started my third year. And I think about August, I got a letter to say return to the army.
So you were on the reserve?
On the reserve, yes, 5 years on the reserve.
What was your reaction to that?
Quite angry.
Was there anything you could do about it?
Nothing at all. The matrons sent a letter, and when I got to Boyce Barracks, I went to complain, but they did the usual one. They kept you waiting and then made no decision. And as a result, quite by accident, I was sent to the Gloucesters.
What kind of accident?
Well, it wasn't of my choosing which regiment I went to. Although I had served the Gloucesters before, because in Jamaica, the 7th Suffolks were in the garrison regiment, and the Gloucesters replaced the Suffolks. So some of the Gloucesters knew me. I didn't know them very well, but some of them knew me. And so actually that was quite a good omen, having served them once, and to be finish up with them again.
Which month would you actually have joined the Gloucesters in 1950?
August.
Had you been following events in Korea?
No.
But you knew that a war had broken out?
Oh, yes. Obviously.
So you didn't have? Did you have any particular attitude towards the war?
No, not really, because one is more interested in carrying out one's. If one is studying, one is more likely to continue that, and at the exclusion of most other things.
What impression did the Gloucesters make on you when you joined them in August 1950?
Well, the first thing that happened, I think, was that I was presented with a rifle, which I wasn't very happy about, because we always thought that if you had a rifle, what happened when you were called somewhere and you had to go and treat the wounded, what did you do with your rifle? And that actually happened. However, I was eventually put with a company. Colonel Barth is now dead, but Colonel Barth said, "Oh, you've come to A Company." He said, "You've got to keep smart and remember it's A Company." And that was it.
And what rank and duties did you have?
I was medical orderly or medical corporal to A Company. There were five of us, I think. I was with A Company. There was a Welshman who was a corporal to B Company, somebody with C, and somebody with D, plus an RAMC sergeant with Dr. Hickey at the RAP.
Where had you joined the Gloucesters in Britain?
Colchester.
What were you doing there before you left for the Far East?
We got air preparation mainly, and we got air injections and things there. And then we went to Bodney in Norfolk for training. It's interesting to note that Bodney still exists, and you can still pick out the huts and things we stayed in. And it was there that Major Anger taught me how to fire a Sten gun. Then after the period of training, we returned to Colchester, and then we went by train to Southampton.
How confident did everybody feel about going to participate in the Korean War?
I think they were reasonable. I think they were reasonably confident. Once they settled in and got used to the once the complaining had finished, I mean, everybody just settled in. They were there and they had to do a job, and that's it.
What was the voyage like for you?
Voyage wasn't too bad. I remember finding Aden very hot, and I'm not sure whether I should tell you this, but I will. We were allowed shore leave at Port Said, and somebody had been beaten up, they said, by the Egyptian police. And what I heard was that he appeared on board again when they came back to ship. They thought he was drunk, and of course they put them in clink for a while, sober up. But roughly about 4 days out, this particular chap, I mean, he was back to normal as far as we knew then, he suddenly collapsed. And they took him to the hospital, and he hadn't been there more than a few, less than an hour, before they were asking for people to give blood transfusions. What it appears is that the chap had got a ruptured spleen, and they were going to operate on him, presumably that night. So they had to, because they had to wait for the coolest part of the day before they could do it. Having done it, then we were all involved, because he had to be nursed, he was unconscious, and it would appear that he suffered from heat exhaustion. Eventually we arrived in Aden, and he was transferred to the RAF hospital there, where he died.
So the ruptured spleen was from the beating?
Yes. That's what the...
Did you feel that it wasn't the Egyptian police who'd done it?
Oh, no. No. We could accept that. And then, of course, we went on to Korea from there. The Yellow Sea is the sea before you get there, presumably. Well, one night we were sailing through there, and all of a sudden there were bright lights from a battleship. It may have been a cruiser, but certainly it was a battleship. And we stopped for identification, and we had to keep below. And we were held up there for a while until they satisfied who we were. Then we went on. It was quite scary.
Did you go to Japan or directly to Korea?
We went to Korea, went to Busan.
Any reception at Busan?
Yes, an American band.
What was that like?
Typically American. The colonel apparently was presented flowers, much to his embarrassment. And then we offloaded onto a Korean train. It was an old-fashioned engine, and the seats were wooden. We went forth. Now, we may have only done one railway journey. I was under the impression we'd done two, but I can't be sure about that. What I do know is that we arrived at a station during the night. The train unhooked and the train went on somewhere and left us, and we were left stuck in the station all night, and they brought the engine back the next morning, and then we carried on with our journey. Well, by mid-morning the next day, we were passing a Turkish camp, and we got American rations from there. The American rations were C6s and C7s, and I think the C7s were of a better quality than the C6s. But it was all quite friendly. And we eventually got to Suwon.
Which month is this about?
This would be November. My recollection is that we arrived in Korea on November the 10th. And then we were in Suwon, became bitterly cold, and then it snowed.
Is this just a transit camp?
Suwon was an agricultural college. One would assume it was, because I think we went to Sibyeon-ni from there. I'm sure you've heard of Sibyeon-ni.
What is it?
Sibyeon-ni. It was an area. It was a place, and the Gloucesters went there. They, while we were there, they roped in a whole crowd of Korean men, all in white, who said they were Korean policemen. They roped them in, and they kept them in the field all one night, and then apparently, having got in touch with whoever it was, they were released the next day. We never liked it because it was too eerie. We always thought something was going to happen. You know, sometimes you go to a place and you're not happy. You have a premonition of something happening. Well, we did a patrol.
Well, were they really policemen?
I never knew. We patrolled the whole area, including the village, and we saw nothing. But we then left there for elsewhere, and the Northumberland Fusiliers took our place, and they were attacked the next morning.
By whom?
North Koreans.
So Sibyeon-ni was in the front line?
Yes, I suppose you could say that. Yes.
So you'd had a premonition about their presence in the area?
Yes. Then I think we went further north. I'm trying to think. We spent Christmas. I can't think exactly where. But we called the area, either, it's got several names, some call it Death Valley, some call it Happy Valley. And the Royal Ulster Rifles were attacked there. The Gloucesters were in reserve. But we spent Christmas there. And just after Christmas, I think we had Christmas a day early, and just after that, we had to move up in the hills, and the RURs were attacked. And then the RURs withdrew and came through us. And we came back through Seoul that was burning.
What condition were the Ulsters in?
Well, they were very shook up, very shaken.
Had they lost many men?
They lost quite a few, yes. Yeah.
This was about the time when the Chinese came in. Had you expected...
This was after the Chinese came in. The Chinese actually came in about October. But, we were on board ship.
So you say Seoul was burning. Did you see Seoul in flames?
Yes. Yes.
What else did you see there?
Well, we just more or less bypassed it and came straight through. And then we slept out in the open that night and went elsewhere after that.
What was morale like in the unit by now?
Morale was always very good. Always. But on that retreat, we finished at a place called Pyeongtaek. I can confirm that later. But Pyeongtaek. Now, Pyeongtaek was an enlarged village. They may have called it a town, but it was a large village. But it had a railway running through it. And we recognised the place by a railway bridge that went across there. And while we were there, we had 250,000 refugees through our lines. They came through, the roads were crowded, they just simply came through. We were in the houses on the edge of the village. And of course we used to do the stand twos night and morning. So we used to go to the trenches night and morning. And then go back, if it was at night, well, we'd go to bed. But in the morning, you would get on with your other duties then. But one particular night after stand two, I was just going back to my billet when I heard a scream. And it was obviously a woman. And I thought then, I will be called out at any moment. And sure enough, I was. And we had something like a barn. I don't know whether it was used as a cookhouse, probably. But it was a barn. But what had happened, a woman with a small baby tied on her back had come up against air barbed wire. And of course, having come across, against the barbed wire, so she screamed, and that's what I had heard. So they sent for me, and I went. She was a poor thing. She had the baby on her back, nothing on her feet. Her scratches weren't very much, but I attended to those. The company commander stood guard outside. The sergeant major went and fetched her a pair of shoes and socks. And eventually, the sergeant major told the company clerk and myself to propel her down the road to the refugee camps. Well, we tried to propel her down the road, and at first we started at an ordinary pace. But then she must have realised what was happening and deliberately slowed up. So we were at a snail's pace. But what she didn't know was that support company had a roadblock just down the road. And eventually we came across them. And they took her in. Now, I don't know how many refugees they had in the village at all. I do know that every platoon had a boy that kept the fires going during the night, a Korean boy. And there were quite a lot of children in the village, living in the village, presumably supported by the army, by the Gloucesters. Dr. Hickey decided that he would sort out the village, and he had them all put onto a lorry to go down to the refugee camp. But much to his annoyance, he sent them down one day, one afternoon, and they were all back by the next. And they all took up their stations as they had before they went.
What happened to the woman?
Presumably she went, we didn't see her after that. And there was an old lady who came against airlines, and somebody shot her in the leg. Somebody might have, what's the army term for it? Perhaps got a bit gun happy and fired, wounded her in the leg. And I had to fix her up. And the RAP sent the ambulance up for her.
Why were the refugees so averse to going into the refugee camp?
I don't know. Presumably they could have a better life outside. They would be freer, wouldn't they?
Yes.
And they would, more likely their own sort of way of life.